All right, so we're going to get started this morning. If everybody will find their way to a seat, since you're in charge, who would you like to open up this morning? Anybody you want?
I'm going to give it to Esther.
Where's Esther? Esther. All right, Esther.
Thank you, Father God, for Eddie. Yes. I just thank you, Lord, for the word that he's going to share. Yes. Two times, Lord, you wanted us to just to be blessed by all the goodness that he spent in your word and your truth, Father God. May it resonate in our heart, soul, and mind, not just for today, Father God, but for further situations that we might come against.
Yes.
We ask you to bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All yours, eh?
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. All right, well, I've had like three or four people come up to me this morning and said, what the heck is this ladder doing here? And I had to inform them that this is a prop for this morning's teaching. And if you think this is something, which is just a ladder, wait till we get in there. I got some real good props. I even got some live actors.
That ladder is better looking than the actors.
Leave my man alone. Hot crowd, hot crowd. You're going to have to do best behavior there, Sammy. All right, well, I wanted to use Elma, but see, she's not here. Carmen! Come on up here. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. No, she don't need a mic. Come on over here, sister. Run up here. Like, act like The Price is Right, like you don't win something. God is using you this morning, sister. Come on over here. Come on over here. All right. So, again, this was supposed to be Alma because I know she's a clown. But anyways, Carmen's more serious. So what I want to do, I'm your home group leader, ain't I?
Yes.
Elder in the church?
Yes.
I've counseled you before?
Yes.
Do you trust my word?
Yes.
A little hesitation there. But that's leading to my teaching. That's good. That's good, Carmen. We didn't do no pre-skits, did we? Okay, so what I'm going to ask her, because I'm her home group leader. I'm her sometimes counselor.
95% of the time.
So what I'm going to ask you, because you said you trust me. I need you to climb to the top of this ladder right here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have you fall back. Just let go. No. And I'm going to catch you.
I trust you, but no, I don't think so.
All right, Carmen, thank you. Let's give Carmen a hand. Now, let me tell you, there was a couple of women I thought about using, and I prayed and said, heck no. I was going to ask Kim Mott. Now, Kim, I thought, would get up the ladder. Say, okay. And the other one was Esther, because I don't know if she cleans so many places, she might get up ladders. So I said, I can't use them. They might say, yeah, it'll blow my whole cover. But that's what I wanted to teach on this morning, trusting in God. Okay? Right, not Eddie. Not Eddie, but trusting in God. And he's just a man. He's a man of God, but he's just a man. But God is God. Amen? So I wanted to go back a couple weeks. I was telling Bob, he gave that teaching on do we believe in God, right? And about how that's our foundation in our Christianity, is that we have to first believe that there is a God, right? Or else what are we doing? Why are we reading this book? Why are we meeting on Sundays? Why are we praying if there is no God? And the thing that I think the best thing I took away from that message with the belief is that Bob said, some of it's your mind, but most of it comes from your heart. You have to believe in your heart about something in order to strive on, to continue when things are rough, or just to keep on going when times aren't good. You got to have that belief in your heart, that foundation, to continue on. Amen? I wrote down here, believing in his plan for our lives is much more harder. And then I think of Jeremiah 29:11. We know what that says, right? Right. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God speaking But that requires trust. Amen? And I looked up the word trust, and it says assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. Now, we just seen right here, Carmen. No confidence in me, her going up this ladder and falling back and me catching her.
You know? She
remembered
the first
test. Right. You know, no confidence in that. But I could use Carmen, but I won't, to come up here and share different aspects in her life where things looked very bleak, but she trusted in God. I mean, when she calls my wife or comes over and talks to both of us and she's sitting there like just totally heartbroken, sobbing sometimes. But at the end she says, but I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Amen. Now that's trust. That's a life-changing thing there. You know, yes, she loves the Lord with her heart and she believes in her heart. But you got to have some mind action in there. When it comes to someone telling you what you're going to do with your life, it's not just a heart issue. Now it becomes a mind issue. Because that's a choice you have to make. Like, am I or am I not? Yeah, sometimes the heart is involved a little bit in that, but it mainly comes from up here in the noggin. And I wrote here, not just in existence, but in his ways, his word, and his promises. Now there lies the catch. Now we have to include not only our hearts, but our own minds. We have to include our minds when we decide we're going to trust in God for our lives, our very lives. Because I remember that scripture, and I'll probably remember it to the day I die, that once you became saved, what happened? Your life is no longer your own. It's no longer your own. It's not, what am I going to do today? It's, Father, what would you have me do today? That's what it's about. See that change? That change in attitude, that change in mindset of your life. It's no longer your life. Now, is it bad to go on vacations and stuff like that? No. I mean, that's a good thing. I was thinking of Pastor Don, Kim, not you, okay? But I think of Pastor Don, and Laura will be up here, she could tell you time and time and time again, like, okay, I'm taking my husband to Hawaii. Nobody will catch us there. Bam, he gets on a plane, he knows the person sitting right next to him. Now tell me that ain't God. Right, Bob? That's not coincidence, right?
No such thing.
We threw out that book of coincidences. That was God. So see, even though we go on vacation and do things of our own, God's always there. Amen? That can seem like such a tall order for us when we have to include our mind and give our lives over to Christ, especially when life can sometimes feel like it is spinning out of control. Has anybody been there? Where you felt like your life is spinning out of control. But part of being a Christian is committing our lives to following him wherever that may lead us. You know? And I still keep giving kudos to those people that went to Mexico time and time again. Man. Like every time, even though God's blessings were there, something else happened. And then something else happened. And then something else happened. I'm not even going to mention my wife when she just put Pastor Don on the most embarrassing moment list when she just fell to the ground. Oh, my God, Pastor, I lost my passport. I just ruined the whole missions trip. Everybody's staring, looking at her. Pastor Don's like, Donna, get up. But God worked it out, didn't he? Again, was that a coincidence that they found her passport in a plane in Texas? They got it back? No, that was God. That she had to show her trust. See, Pastor Don never wavered. You know, Pastor Don never wavered. Even though when he got back, he told me, we almost had to leave your wife there. But I know Pastor Don's trust was in God, that he was going to work it all out. Or else, why would he take us there? You know what I'm saying? But we just have to be willing. When we trust that he will guide us safely along life's path, we can walk confident all the way home. Amen. Now in Psalms 56:4 it says, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? During times in our walks when we feel as if we are coming under attack, it is important to remember that we are under the Lord's protection. There is no earthly harm that can override our ultimate destination at home with Jesus. When we proclaim our trust in Him, we are choosing to let go of fear and embrace our safety in Christ. There it is, all right there. You know, I mean, I just love the apostles. You know, I mean, here were these guys. You know, they were just commoners, but Jesus chose them, just like He chose us. Jesus chose them, taught them everything that He knew in that short time that they were together. And at the time when you could say that He needed them most, they all ran and hid. They were scared. But God already knew they were going to fail. He knew that. So He comes back, right, spends some time with them, and He leaves. What happened then? There was no stopping them. No stopping them. You know, they went into all the world. Things, you know, they ran across problems, yes. But did the Lord deliver them? Yes. You know? I mean, so much so, I mean, you can read time and time again where God just, His favor was there. Why? Because they put their trust in Him. You know, they were probably thinking about that. Well, what can mere man do to me? If they kill me, I'm done. I did my job. I'm in heaven. And I did my task, you know? I want to talk about real quickly, if you remember the Obama election, you know, he's a Democrat, and, you know, I know I didn't vote for him. I didn't agree with everything he was saying and stuff like this, but I remember at my work at General Motors, the union's normally Democratic, always Democratic, so they were just, you know, because, I mean, it was historic, right? It was the first African-American president of every United States, so it was historic. And I remember they were wearing hats and buttons and hats that lit up and T-shirts that said Obama, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then what happened? See, they put their trust in him to lead this country, just like we all do, right? But then all of a sudden when he got in, and we know politicians, right? They say one thing, but they do something else. Well, if you remember, I think it was in, 2009, the big three were declaring bankruptcy. Well, you should have seen them. I mean, it's like their bubble got bursted. Oh, they were walking around like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I got a car, I got a boat, I got a house. And you know me, I was like, hey, I'm getting laid off. That's 95%. All right, you know, because my faith wasn't in General Motors. I mean, I look at... my faith was at 95%. No, but I mean, they were seriously downtrodden. Like, I mean, they were walking around like this, like, what are we going to do? General Motors is going bankrupt? General Motors? Like, that could never happen. Why? Because to them, that was their God. That was their provider. GM.
Not Ford.
Hey, wait a minute, buddy. Hey, buddy. Ford's was up there at Washington the first time, buddy. Don't even try it. No, they didn't. But look at them now. Look at them now. They ain't number one no more, are they? Okay, let's not go there. Don't get me going, brother. Don't get me going now. Don't get me going. Hey, wait a minute. What do you drive?
I drive a Ford
Interceptor. Now, what do you drive? Throw it out there like you mean it, brother. All right, my man. Anyways, all right, back to work. So, anyways, that's what I said. My buddy came up to me, goes, man, what are we going to do, dude? I says, well, I guess we're going to get laid off and collect some money. He's like, aren't you worried? I go, no. He goes, what do you mean you're not worried, man? You could be losing your job. And I told him. I said, you know what? God is my provider, man. I said, God is my provider. If my time is done here at General Motors, then he'll move me somewhere else. You know?
Ford.
Heathen. So, but the fact of the matter is you could see that these people put their trust in a president who let them down. I mean, Pastor Don, they never wore another button, never wore another shirt, another hat. And I was getting them. I was like, promise you Obama? Sure, man. Didn't he promise you this and this? Oh, man, he lied to us. He lied to us. You know, they might mean well, but, you know, they're limited, trust me. They say he's the president of the United States and he makes all decisions. No, it's a government, trust me. But that's another story. We'll leave that one to Pastor Don. Anyways, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And see, that's the thing they couldn't comprehend. They, you know, they were stuck in that no GM, no job, no life. You know, they're leaning on their own understanding. But us as Christians would be like I was, well, if this ain't where God wants me, then he's going to move me on. I mean, I think of Abraham. That guy was rich. I mean, that guy had bucks. And yet God told him, I want you to go. Didn't tell him where. He said, just go. And the man went. He didn't have to. The guy was rich. He was good right where he was at. But he went. We got to have that same kind of mentality. When God says go, we need to go. If you're not sure, that's okay. Then you go to the pastors. Say, hey, I need guidance. God's telling me to do that. And that's happened a lot in the church, you know, where a job switch, you know, or even a church location because of a movement or something. You know, they always go to the pastors to get that blessing because you want to be in God's will. So many times when we don't trust God and we try and lean on our own understanding, what happens? We fall right on our face. You know, and we've seen it happen, Pastor. People that just took it upon themselves to do what they wanted to do. See, doing what they wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. Here's a good part right here. You have to give it all to God. You have to give up believing you know what's best. You have to give up being in charge of your life. And you have to release your grip and open your heart. In doing so, the bumps in the road seem smoother. Not because they all go away, but because you know, you now know your way around them because of God's guidance. I mean, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. I've always said this to the youth. He didn't say, follow the yellow brick road. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. That cross is a hardship. And sometimes it's other people's burdens. You know, right? When Jesus took on that cross, he was taking on the sins of the world. Not just for that time, for the entire world. For you and me, 2,000 years ago. This was all for us. Esther, here goes Esther.
I thank God for this church that he's put me in because if I didn't have this church from where I came from and to where I'm at today, like, I mean, everybody knows, so I'll just throw it out there. I'm always in the office with Pastor Don. So he, so that's like my dad. Really, to be honest. I mean, because I don't have a dad to guide me biblically. I have this spiritual dad who, I mean, he's yelled at me. I've yelled at him. I've screamed, no, it's not that way. And, I mean, crying and screaming, and I'm not joking, crying and screaming. And he steadily said the truth. He steadily help me walk to see the truth. So I say to myself, is thank God that we have these women that have and men that have given their life to Christ to help you to go down that right path. Because to be honest, there's a lot of times that I did not want to believe Pastor Don. I would say he's nuts. You know, he's, you know, that didn't happen. That's just, you know, but it's, yes. I mean, I'm not even joking. And Pastor Don lovingly, I mean, I'm sure he wanted to slap the crap out of me, but lovingly, he kept on saying, Esther, this is truth. Esther, this is truth. So with these teachings, Ed, you know how many times God told me, let go and just release it to me to this week. He just said, release it to me, Esther, and I will turn it around to something so beautiful that you won't even realize or recognize the nastiness of the situation, that I'm going to turn it around to something so beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, to go down that road is a very that ladder, to go up that ladder and to say I'm going to let go is a challenging road. I will tell you, it is hard to do it. But I'm thankful that I have a pastor that is not going to let me walk away. And then I have the elders, and I have their wives. And when I need a brother or a sister to encourage me. I need Carmen. I need Elma. I need whoever. Kim, I need whoever. Donna, whoever. You guys are always there. What for? To turn me back around and say, hey, Esther, you know what? What you believe is a lie. And that's the enemy ministering to you. Get back, honey. Don't look at the situation. Trust God. Amen. So really, us brothers and sisters who hang on together and say, I'm going to help you climb that ladder no matter what it looks like right now, is what you need, what we need, what I need. I need it so desperately.
Amen. Good word, Esther. Hey, so I looked up that word grip. Actually, Donna did for me in the biblical dictionary. Check this out, grip. To catch or to take possession of. To lay hold of with the mind. The enemy is always after our minds. He instills the fear, the doubt, the jealousy, the attitude, the anger, which results to sin. But isn't that amazing? We lay hold of it with our mind. I was thinking grip, yeah, you just grip something, don't let go. But the biblical sense was talking about our minds gripping something and being stuck on it and not letting it go. And that's exactly where the enemy wants to take us. When we start thinking ill of the leadership or a brother or sister in Christ or even a person, you know, we've got to be able to trust God that He'll work out each and every situation for His glory. And we just need to be those ambassadors that He's called us to be to bring that forth to the lost or the found, you know. You know, the pastor spoke one time before, and he said, you know what? It takes a bigger man to admit they're wrong than to try and lay the blame on others. You know, and I think God honors that. He honors that so much, you know. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, be blessed, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Aren't we called to be the fruit of the Spirit? Our trees should bear fruit. And I said that security comes from the placing your confidence in God allows you to live out that by faith, by blessing others. I mean, even when things aren't going our way too well, we still got to be there to provide that shade for others, that covering, you know. I think of God, you know, with just his outstretched hands with a robe on and blocking the sun, you know, or whatever the case may be, but that's his protection over his children. We have to be that protection for others, you know, whether they're a brother and sister in Christ or a family member that we've been praying for and they keep doing the same thing over and over and over. You know, and a lot of times we get that attitude like, say, you know what, Lord, they're yours because I just can't deal with it anymore. We're walking out. You know, is that what God wanted us to do? Or is that just what we're feeling? Yeah. We can't take the shade away. We're there to provide the shade. We're there to provide the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the grace, the mercy. Are we any better? Pastor, pray for that man. No, but seriously, and I know it gets frustrating. I'm always telling Donna, babe, you gotta love him, babe. You gotta love him. Like, what is this, a Dami Lama over here, man? Come on, they're a sinner. Weren't you? Aren't you? I'm like, ooh, that hurt, man. I quit, man. I'm out. I have to go recuperate. You know, but that's true, though, you know. I'm not saying that we have to be a bullseye for everybody to beat us up. But, you know, but we got to be there. You know, their struggles are different than ours. You know what I mean? I'm not saying anybody's better than anybody, but, you know, sometimes in our walks we're up here and somebody else might be down here. They need that helping hand, that branch to reach out and help them. You know, and I love this part where it says, it has no worries in a year of drought. I know this has happened to me a couple of times. You ever feel like you're on a desert island? Like, God, where are you? I don't sense your presence. I don't hear your word. I'm reading your word. I'm praying, and I don't feel or see anything. You feel like you're on a desert island.
It's called the Gilligan spirit.
Gilligan spirit. I didn't say shipwreck, brother. Yeah. Captain Bob. No, but seriously, we feel sometimes like God has left us. It's like, Lord, where are you? But his word says what? I will never leave you and never forsake you. I will never give you more than what you can handle. God doesn't want us to fail. He puts in us so we can succeed. Because as we succeed, what happens? Our trust in him grows. Our faith grows. Our belief grows. Everything grows by our success through Christ. Okay? Does that mean we're going to drop the ball sometimes? Yes. We're not perfect. If we were going to be perfect, there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. But he died 2,000 years ago for that very day when you dropped the ball. You just get up, wipe the dust off your knees, repent, and move on. Don't get stuck in the moment. See, the devil would want you to grip on that failure and say you're nothing but a failure. Don't try again. You look stupid. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing your church. That's where he wants you. He wants you to grip hold of that. But we got to know that Jesus died for us. His blood covers a multitude of sins. I mean, does that mean we go out practicing sinning every day? No. But we're striving to get better. But it takes time. We're not perfect. Okay, I want to do... Your tree grows stronger, and our branches are able to carry more weight because it is rooted in trust. Whatever comes its way, your tree will stand, and others will be able to take shade under the branches you have extended. That's the point I was trying to make. We need to be there for the weaker people. Amen? An example, I said, this reminds me of many of us who at one time or another might have reached out to a family, friends, or other strangers and provided healing or comfort or love to those who were in need, just like Jesus always did. And I wanted to share this story. We were on a family vacation, and I don't laugh, but we're in Ohio. Quiet. Everybody's like, Ohio? There's nothing in Ohio. Well, that's where we were on vacation. I know. No, I took her to Cedar Point on our honeymoon. Hey, I was 19 years old. I was 19. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, they would love that. That's all right. We were kids, Elma. I was 19. She was 18. Anyway, and we went to SeaWorld. We went to SeaWorld, too. We went to SeaWorld. No, actually, I think we went to Kings Island, didn't we? We went to Kings Island, and we went to SeaWorld. Hey, I had to show her the beast. We rode the beast. I want her to hug on me. Yeah, hug this beast. Hey, we were so dumb. I won her one of those big stuffed animals early in the day. So we're walking around with this giant elephant or whatever, trying to get on the ride. We're jamming his trunk down. We're riding the ride. The thing's all smashed. By the time we got to the car, the elephant was like, was I go, what were we thinking, man? Walk around, because you can't get a locker shoved in there. It wouldn't fit. Why we didn't go back to the car? I was 19. I didn't know any better. It's like, hey, no, I want to show off. Yeah, look at what I want, buddy. One shot. Anyways, we're driving, and because this wasn't the honeymoon, this was our vacation, so Elmer and Shirley were in the car. We're driving, and you know those Ohio roads, there's only two lanes? This car behind us just flew right by us. It was a little car, and it had like, three or four teenagers in it. It just flew right by us. And we're just driving, and I mean, there's like corn stalks, so you can't really see much. And we're driving along, and then all of a sudden, there's just a real sharp turn in the road. I mean, because we're doing like 60, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa! Now, I barely made the turn. What had happened is someone earlier had crashed there and knocked the sign down to warn you that there was a curve. So we make the turn. We go maybe, what, about 20 feet and look, and there was the car. It was flipped over. They had wiped out those teens that blew by us. And they're screaming. They're screaming, so we pull over. Me and Elmer go down there, and the car was pinned on like a barbed wire fence. You know those ones, Fred, that they're still strung out, but they're barbed wire. And the car was jammed, and the two guys, well, I pulled the one guy out in the back. The one guy got out. I don't know, maybe he got thrown out. I'm not sure. Thank God he was alive. But the other guy, he was pinned on the passenger side in between the fence and the car. So all of us got behind the car. It was a small car, and we kind of were able to move it a little bit because it was bent on an angle. And I reached in there, and we pulled him out, and he was screaming. His face was just like Kim's shirt. It was just red with blood. The glass had exploded and like blew up in his face when they hit. And he just was screaming. He's like, I can't see. I can't see. I'm blind. I'm blind. And then Donna was there, and immediately we just started praying for the guy. And Elmer ran across the street. There was like a farm. They came out, and they go, is everybody all right? And he's like, no, call 911. Call 911. So it was how, I don't know, but it was only a matter of like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and the ambulance was there because we were in the middle of nowhere. And we prayed for this guy, and Donna's telling him because she was holding his hand the whole time. Calmed him down immediately, I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And he said, everything's going to be all right, you're going to be all right. So they leave, we talk to the people for a little bit, and then we go on our way to the hotel. Well, then when we go into town, we ran into him. And the guy was totally healed. Totally healed. And he thanked Donna. He hugged her and he thanked her. I mean, he had little cuts on his face, but I guess it just looked worse than what it was. But I think he did have some glass in his eyes, but his vision was fine and everything. But I just believe that was really the power of God. And we just trusted that God would take care of him. And Donna kept saying it. Just trust in the Lord. He's gonna heal you. Just let me read this. Psalms 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who you seek. We all fear that the thought of being forgotten, given up on, forsaken by those we love, and that rejection hurts. It creates a lasting sting that often convinces us that no one is worthy of our trust. And again, there's the enemy. You know, sometimes we get snide or snipped or whatever, and we think they did it on purpose, but they might not have meant it at all. You know, but the enemy, again, allows you to grip onto that. Oh, man, see, they rejected you. They don't care about you. You call that your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. And they allow that to feed on them instead of going to the Lord or going to the pastors or going to the brother or sister who said it and get clarification on it. You know, I mean, Pastor Don was speaking about that, is that we got to learn to confront one another. In love, but we got to confront. Don't hoard that in, and don't trust God that he can't take care of any situation. I mean, really, we're talking about God. That he couldn't fix a miscommunication, or even if you did do something wrong, that he couldn't bring in the love that you could forgive one another. Really? Our God's not big enough for that? We need to learn to put our trust in God in all aspects of our life. And it'll be better for us, because the more we trust in God, the more we're going to want to step out of our comfort zone and start doing what our Father has called us to do. Amen? Our time is short. So I'm just going to end with that. I had a little bit more, but I'm going to end there.
You can always come back for a part two some other time, Eddie. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Who would you like to close, Eddie?
Kim.
Kim.
I had a pick on you.
Hey, God, we just thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for today. Thank you for this word. Lord God, thank you that we can trust in you. Lord God, may we walk out in that very thing. And we just ask you to bless this service. And thank you for Eddie bringing this word. In Jesus' name, amen.